The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
We are joined by our final guest now, who is going to tell us about her book, I'm Still Standing, A Woman's Battle After a Surgical Mesh Implant. Welcome to the show, Louise White.
Hi. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. So, first of all, what is a surgical mesh implant?
Well, there are lots of different types of mesh used in operations to support different structures within the body. Surgical mesh has been used in hernia operations for decades, a lot longer, I believe, than in pelvic organ operations, which are usually more commonly used in operations with women, some form of prolapse or stress urinary incontinence. So by that I mean urine incontinence when you cough or sneeze or under some activity or whatever. And the pelvic organ prolapse can be into the an organ into the that drops down typically after menopause, but not necessarily. So I just feel like I need to qualify what I'm saying is that I'm not a medical expert. I am a doctor, but in psychotherapy. So my training isn't in medicine. So what I have gleaned on the subject has been from my own reading. But yes, mesh implants are used in a number of surgeries. They've been used in breast implants as well to support structures which would otherwise perhaps not stay in place. So often women ended up having to have more than one surgery for pelvic organ prolapses, which was the main issue that I had.
So what does happened? Yes, it does, Louise. What happened then? Did you have a bad experience?
So yes, I had what they called a 3-in-1 operation, which was called a retroseal repair, an anteroseal repair, or the front and the back wall of the vagina, and I also had my implanting surgeon called it, as an insurance policy, a TVT mesh implanted. The TVT stands for transvaginal tension-free tape. And it went wrong actually right from the very beginning. So I woke up the following morning with complete urine retention, and was subsequently catheterized for several weeks. Once the bladder had settled down, I went through what they call a TWOC test, a trial without catheter. I was still retaining urine. I've later discovered that the tape was... I'm sorry, it just keeps saying at my end, there's no signal. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you perfectly.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I'm just worrying that my internet connection will drop out. So it went wrong right from the beginning, and I found out that the tape had been, according to three different surgeons, implanted incorrectly. It had been implanted too tight, too close to the midline, too low down. Something else. So I ended up expecting to have, eventually I managed to gain some level of ability to pee, but I still had urine retention. And so they did what was quite a common complaint for women who've had mesh implanted, and they cut the tape, although they didn't tell me that. She didn't tell me that, the implanting surgeon. She said she was going to loosen it. There were a lot of issues with, just to go back a bit, with the whole process, in that me and I believe a lot of other women, based on the research that I've done, were not able to fully consent to the operation. One of the main reasons was because the governing body who oversees the licensing of products in this country, the MHRA, they gave it a license on the back of no long-term trials, which meant that when we were consenting for the operation, the failure rate was something like 1-3%. And now I believe the failure rate is a minimum of 10%, and I think it's going up all the time, because the longer the mesh implants are implanted, the more people are coming out of the woodwork with problems. So at any one time, for example, on Sling the Mesh Facebook group pages, I believe there's about 10,000 women with complications with mesh following surgery very similar to mine, all with varying degrees of problems. And if you have a mesh, I don't want you to become anxious about it. If you don't have any symptoms and you're not suffering at all, try not to worry about it. But if you do start to think, oh, well, it's a bit of a nag, what's going on there? I've got twinges here and it's a bit painful there or whatever, then it may possibly be that.
So what did they actually do for you then? Did they manage to sort it out for you?
In the end, I had the tape cut in two, which, as I was saying, it wasn't really explained to me that they were doing that. It was called, we're going to loosen the tape. And unfortunately, when they cut it in two, it makes it harder for it to be retrieved and for you to have a full removal, because instead of one device that you can track from one end to the other, you have two. And sometimes the mesh falls back on itself and you end up with all sorts of problems. So I went through a succession of problems with it following that, which lasted from several years. I still have issues with the tape in respect to pain. So eventually I have had a full removal, but I have my book, I'm Still Standing, is called that because I am unable to sit down comfortably.
Oh, dear.
And so that means it has quite an impact on your life, as you can imagine.
Could the NICE organisation not help? They've got guidelines, haven't they?
Well, NICE gave the device a gold standard award on the back of no long-term trials, I believe, also. There had been several ways in which this scandal, I see it as a scandal, another scandal, could have been avoided. So the first line of defence, the way I see it, was the MHRA, this governing body, who oversee the licensing of all medicines and healthcare products, you know, as in this case, mesh. So they were the first line of defence against this becoming a catastrophe. And then we had NICE, who were probably the next line of defence. And as I say, they gave it a gold standard award and didn't pick up on the issues that were going on. And I find it really galling that the very first meshes were out in 1998, and the problems that were found at that time in 1998, erosion and pain being two of them, are the most common problems that women have had and continue to have now.
It's shocking. I mean, that was such a long time ago. What about the General Medical Council? Could they help?
We Once the mesh was implanted, I actually went to the General Medical Council because there were a number of other. I don't want to go into too much detail because it'll spoil the reading of my book. But you'll see if you manage to get hold of it, I'm Still Standing, that the problems didn't end once I'd found a removal surgeon. In fact, that was really the beginning of the unravelling of a lot of cover-ups, lies, actually. Oh, golly, all sorts.
Well, I tell you what we'll do is we'll read the title of the book out because we're selling it right now on our website. So our listeners can buy the book straight away. It's called I'm Still Standing, A Woman's Battle After a Surgical Mesh Implant. And it's by Louise White, the author who we're speaking to now. You mentioned a Facebook group as well, Louise. Was it Sling the Mesh?
Yes.
People can look at that as well.
Yes.
Okay, well, sadly, we're out of time, but I want to say thank you for joining us today, Louise.
That's my pleasure.
Good luck
with
the book.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.